I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hi, AfterBuzzers. Welcome back to our The Great After Show. Today, we are doing Episode 3. You, sir, are no Peter the Great. I'm Tori, but I cannot be doing this panel without my lovely panelists. I'm here with Cody. How are you?
I'm good.
And we also are joined for the first time, making a grand entrance, Tatiana. Thanks for joining
guys.
Us. How are
Thanks.
You?
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry I missed the first two, but I'm here now.
Yes, she's here and she's really bringing in that insight that we've been missing. So we're super excited to have her on the panel. Today we have so much to dive into. These episodes don't hold anything back. We have a weird aunt. We have Peter trying to kind of come out of his father's shadow. And Catherine has found a new lover. So this is definitely everything that we needed and more. We also have a special segment later. So definitely stick around for that. But first, before we jump into these topics, please tell me your overall thoughts of the episode. Cody, what did you think?
It's nutty. I'm so into it, and it's so crazy because I feel like this is only episode 3, and like every episode we're getting some new twist, and it's so hard for me to sit and just do this episode by episode, but I'm glad because we get to do this, but I'm hungry for this show.
Yeah, we've definitely said in the beginning that this is one that you definitely want to binge it. Like, I'm so glad they released all the episodes because I couldn't imagine waiting weekly for this show. Mm-hmm. Tatiana, please tell us your overall thoughts of just the season so far.
I mean, I am completely immersed in this. And I think when they said it was a comedy, I was kind of expecting like a more of like a sitcom humor. But this is definitely not that. And it's kind of turning into somewhat of kind of dark humor. For sure, which I actually like. So I really, really like the season so far. This episode as a whole, I feel like took a turn for the best.
Yes.
Took a turn.
Yes, it definitely did. And I think this is one of those episodes that if you weren't hooked before, you're definitely hooked now. There's no going back. Like you said, Cody, I'm ready to finish out this whole series and see what happens. But let's just dive into the episode. So we know that Peter the Great is actually Peter's father, and Peter hasn't really found, you know, what his the blank is yet. And this whole episode, he's just trying to figure it out. But we definitely see how a lot of characters kind of recognize how great his father was. And we have this weird, like, previous relationship with the aunt and Peter's father. Tatiana, please tell me how you felt during this opening scene. What was going through your head?
I mean, I was like, well, first of all, no surprise. Okay. No surprise that his aunt and his father had a thing going on. I could have guessed it. The fact that he was in the corner and he remembers that happening. I mean, it says two things. Number one, it says how little, like, everybody paid attention to him. So he was kind of like the invisible child, it seems, which totally feeds into this persona that he has now. And it also tells you that, like, his father was just as much of a, you know, horrible person. Mm-hmm. Even though he's called Peter the Great, maybe historically he was great, but as a personable person, mm-hmm. with his relationships, his sexual relationships, it was terrible. So that's who we got.
Cody, when you saw this, did you see it as any surprise? Were you kind of expecting it from previous episodes? What was your thoughts when the aunt revealed that she had a thing going on with the king? I mean,
I actually like took a double take. I was like I didn't rewind, but I was like, did I hear that correctly? Is that what she said? And they kept going. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's what they said. Cool. it's not that I was surprised. It was just, I was just a little shocked. I was just like, oh, mm-hmm. Okay. So the plot has thickened again. And it was just, it's not surprising because in period pieces like this, there is incest is usually involved somewhere. But it was just, I was like, oh, great.
It is what it is, right?
Right. And the humor of this is that everybody says things so nonchalant that, like, it doesn't seem like a big deal. And you're like, wait, what? Like, in the first episode when he showed Catherine his mom just chilling in the hallway. And I was like, what is happening? Like, what is going on? But everybody just says it as if it's like a regular Tuesday of everybody just chilling. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is happening? But let's definitely stay on this aunt for a little bit. So the aunt actually ends up taking Catherine to meet Ivan. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm thinking, okay, Ivan, of course, taking all historical context out, we said that we were trying to view this in a very fresh mindset. I was like, oh, like, where is this where's the secret brother? Like, where, what is going on? Didn't know that he was in the castle. When the aunt shows Catherine who Ivan is and takes her behind this heavily guarded door, Cody, what were your first thoughts when you saw who he was?
I wasn't expecting it. I thought it was going to be like somebody who was estranged from the family, was in some other far off place, but he's this little kid who is locked in this room, who's a little scary nightmare. I mean, very similar to his older half brother. It was just very alarming, and it was revealing, but also left me with a bunch of questions. So I'm just very curious as to where that's going to lead, because it seems like if Catherine wants to take over, she's going to have to kill this little kid too. So
yeah. So Tatiana, knowing of Catherine's plan and then also seeing this 9-year-old little boy, how do you think the two are going to intertwine? Like, what do you think Catherine is going to do now that she knows about him?
I mean, she's definitely going to take action. I don't think that she has it in her to kill Ivan. I think she thought, well, I kind of thought that he was a man. Yeah. Like, he was going to be this 20, 30 something year old guy far in a faraway land, and she'd have to like travel, and that was going to take a whole episode. But to see him that small, she's not going to kill him. I don't think that's part of her character. I think she might do away with him or get him out of the castle and like kind of adopted into another family, maybe. I think banishment is definitely going to be at play.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy, well, not crazy, but when Maria went to her old apartment in the previous episode, there was like crayons on the wall. And I was like, my first thing was like, whose little kid is running around? But then I was like, there's no kids here. Like, I haven't seen any. And then I was like, well, maybe he's a little nightmare that's messing stuff up. I wouldn't be surprised if they let him in that apartment to just terrorize it, because his apartment looks a mess too. But I definitely thought that was interesting. Tatiana, like you said, I thought it was going to be a much older man that we had to like take care of, and he was just going to be this monkey wrench in the plan. I mean, he kind of still is, but we don't really know what's going on, and we don't see him after that. So we'll definitely see more of him later. Now, Peter, I know we all have, you know, a lot of thoughts about Peter. And honestly, the furthest thing on his mind is his half brother. So just to switch gears a little bit, this whole episode, we're definitely seeing how everyone is reminding him that he's not Peter the Great. Like, he's not Peter the Great. And honestly, I think if anybody knows it more, it's probably him. Like, he definitely knows that he's not Peter the Great, and you kind of see him struggle with kind of, I guess, removing himself out of the shadow, or just kind of identify himself as an individual as Peter the something. He hasn't figured it out. But Cody, when you saw that he understands that he's in his father's shadow as well, did that kind of give you any more insight to the character? Like, how did you feel towards Peter after kind of seeing his relationship with his father?
I hate to say it because I don't like him, but I feel bad for him. It just seems like, yes, he was a prince, and now he's this ruler, and he is born into this lavish lifestyle. But it just seems like, because we also learned that his mother was very, cruel with him. And it just seems like the father, or Peter the Great, his father obviously wasn't there for him as well. And I feel like our Peter has come into his kingship, his rulership, where are my words, his leadership role, and I feel like the reason it is going the way it is going is because he has not been trained properly, he hasn't been raised properly to take this role. And we kind of discussed this on a previous episode about how these rulers of this time, they come into power very young, and I feel like maybe he was just a little too young and maybe we'll learn when we lost Peter the Great, and that's why Peter is the way he is because he's a brat, and he's very similar to his half brother too,
who are just spoiled.
And that's why I'm yammering on, but that's why his court is such a
mess,
crap storm, yes, mess. And because that's just how he does things. So I don't know, he's a nightmare, and I feel bad. I don't think it's his fault. So I feel bad for him, but it doesn't change the fact that he's a bad person.
And you definitely see kind of like his, I hate to say it, but Napoleon complex, probably not the best, show to relate that to, but you kind of see it coming out. And so Tatiana, what did you think when you saw Peter in this kind of, I guess, like war strategy scene when he's trying to, you can tell that he knows nothing about what they're talking about. And yet he's still trying to make up this strategy and this plan on how to attack and win the war. What did you think was going through Peter's head? What were your thoughts about it? Did you start to feel for him like Cody did?
I did feel for him. I feel like this episode was really focused on a little bit more of his backstory and what he's struggling with on a daily basis. And it did create a little soft spot. I'm going to call it a little Peter spot, okay, in my heart. it's definitely there. But when he was doing the strategy for the war, he said previous to that like, these are all of his father's buddies. So I'm sure that his father and these men traded war stories and, you know, cracked mm-hmm. up about how many Swedes they killed and cut their, like, all that kind of stuff. So for him to be there and have no war stories, he can't connect mm-hmm. with these men on any level, literally any level. And so it just totally was belittling. So then he was like, you know what, I can do this. What if my father can do it? I'm my father's son. I can do this. But he just made a fool of himself, you know, which just yeah. kind of plunged him into this like self-doubt. And that's why we see him sitting in the statue in his father's arms, because he doesn't know who he is. I mean, you know, Peter, the what am I? You know, he was sitting there right. having this whole question of self, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think he hasn't had the time, and he doesn't have the time currently to figure out who he is. Mm-hmm. And his court is, yeah, is like Cody was saying, it's a mess.
Yeah. And it's always interesting because I think in some of these series, we see that whoever king, emperor, whatever, whoever the leader is, it's usually a male that's a leader. You kind of see them focus so much on their stories and their strategy and their leadership that whoever the heir is kind of not thought about until it is their time to step into the throne or step into power. And I think that was definitely proven here. Like you said, for Peter to come into this war strategy with people who his father won wars for, and he knows nothing. It's kind of like you can tell that his father didn't really, you know, introduced him to this. He kind of just knew that it had to be done once his father died. And it's just kind of like, I mean, talk about a product of your environment, which, like you said, Cody, we've talked about previously. And it's just like the things that these royal kids are taught to focus on has nothing to do with their actual responsibilities. And they get in these situations, and Peter is talking about carrying boats through a river. And you're just like, no, that's not how that works.
He's like, why aren't the rivers absurd. Blue? Like, I don't understand.
Exactly. And you know what? I kind of agreed, because I was like, I thought it was brown too, because it was all green. So I didn't understand the problem until everybody started laughing and told him it was yeah. a river. I was like, oh, that's not a good plan. That's okay, fine. You know, it should be a different color. How are we supposed to know? But it was, of course, like you said, Cody, you don't want to feel for him, but you do, because you recognize that some of his issues don't stem from him. Like, they stem very much so from his upbringing, his parenting, you know, that neither parent really paid him much attention. And so I think it just shows that he's craving the attention that he didn't get from his parents. And that's why he's so anal about everybody laughing at his jokes, everybody doing what he says, because he didn't really get that when he was a kid. So I think that kind of has a connection. But continuing this conversation with his father, we get to the statue ceremony, and he has to make this speech. Now, before he makes the speech, he does have a very heartwarming moment with Catherine. It kind of seems like she's genuinely there to help him through this moment. Tatiana, what was going through your head when you saw this conversation, especially knowing the nature of their relationship so far?
I kind of thought it was a glimpse into the possibility that maybe they could work out. You know, because mm-hmm. sometimes when you're thrown into, I mean, I'm not speaking from experience, but sometimes when you're thrown into a marriage, you know, you have to, it takes time. I mean, when you date somebody, when you're like getting to know somebody, it takes time for you to figure out their quirks and, you know, the walls that they put up and how to get past that and all that kind of stuff. And her expectations were dashed from the very beginning. And mm-hmm. so I thought that that moment that they shared was like just the tiniest ounce of hope that, you know, maybe there could be a time, I know that historically it doesn't happen, but maybe there could be a mm-hmm. time where Peter could lean on her, or they could actually become like, you know, friends, not lovers yeah. per se, but like friends and maybe confidants in each other, that they could rule in a different way. And I just felt like that was just a glimpse of into it. And that maybe hopefully Peter saw that as well, you know, like she was genuinely trying to help her. I mean, she was genuinely trying to help him mm-hmm. with doing the speech. And in the end, like, he went with what she said in exactly. two ways. You know, he like cried right. when he was up there, and then he stabbed the guy. So, and that was from the heart, yeah. I guess.
So that was interesting. Now, speaking of stabbing the guy, Cody, when the, I think it was like one of the war leaders, I'm not sure, but somebody who was at the ceremony starts laughing at him because he's crying over his father. I know that you already said that you felt for him, but tell me what watching that scene was like for you.
It was a little, it was tough because I feel like he did have a very genuine moment with Catherine right before that. However, I do think he implemented her advice incorrectly. I think instead of like being like stoic and strong and still having emotion, he just, I can speculate on his like childish state of mind all I want, but I just feel like it was more like, instead of, it became more of like a eulogy for him. And he was just like more sobbing and weeping over missing his father, as opposed to like being maybe more proud and emotional at his great accomplishments that, I mean, or presumably great accomplishments. So I, I don't want to, it's so like, what's the gender normative roles, but mm-hmm. he just, unfortunately he went about it wrong. And I see why the guard was like, what a baby, or the military man was like, what a baby. Like,
mm-hmm. now, Tatiana, again, like, did you think that he was being a baby when that happened?
I mean, no, because I think here's two different, you have two different guys, Peter and then that military guy, the general, and they have two different perceptions of his father. So the military guy saw his father as this strong man, probably wouldn't cry over anything and just like cut people's heads off with no fear and no guilt, you know? And then you have Peter, who I'm assuming didn't really know his father in that way, but heard of other people talking about him like that and wished for that relationship with his father. So for him to cry, I was like, you know, yeah, it didn't seem manly from the general's perspective because of how the general saw his father, but it seemed very appropriate, I think, from Peter's perspective, because he didn't get any of that from his father. He mm-hmm. missed that completely. And so I'm sure it was more than just, I miss my father. I'm sure it was like, I miss the relationship that we never had. I miss that he went on all these things and now I can't relate to anybody. I miss that I'm ruling this country by myself. You know, like, mm-hmm. I'm sure it was a host of things.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It kind of seems like, I mean, we talk about this all the time, that once the leader of whatever is has passed or whatever, the heir automatically takes that position. There's really not much of grooming or mourning. And I think I definitely started to see that, you know, I don't think Peter really got the opportunity to mourn his father, because right after his father died, he was the next in line. Like I said, the country doesn't stop moving, so somebody has to step up and rule. I mean, you probably have like a couple of days to the coronation and it's official, but that's not enough time to mourn anything that you've lost. And I think in this episode, when he's crying, I didn't really like see it as a weakness. I kind of saw it as he never really got proper time to mourn just his father, not mourn Peter the Great, not mourn, you know, this great leader, but just his dad. I mean, he's lost both of his parents, and even though he is not my favorite person in the world, I couldn't imagine losing my parents. I wouldn't want to rule anything after that. Like, yeah. I would need proper time. And, you know, and I think we can definitely see that when wounds aren't properly healed, you know, the person that is dealing with those wounds might not be the best person all the time. And I think, even though, like you said, Cody, it's so awkward to like feel for a character that you know is historically not the greatest, or just isn't the greatest even in the show, but it definitely showed the complexities between his character and what he's thinking. Like you said, Tatiana, I mean, absolutely. After the ceremony, he climbs this huge statue and sits in his father's lap, and I was just kind of like, yeah, like he just misses his dad. And when you are a kid, I don't think I would have known if I was poor either anything. I wouldn't know. I haven't done anything. But it's kind of like right. when you come after Peter the Great, you have to be something. You have to be at least like Peter the Terrific, or I don't know, something.
Peter the Awesome Man.
As Peter is sleeping and trying to identify, you know, who he is as a person, Catherine is doing her own thing and has her own plan. So before we get into like the juicy stuff, let's for a second talk about this little prank that she plays on one of the ladies. She, you know, plays nice. She brings them, I guess, to this like mini party or like tea party or whatever it is, and offers one of the women a dress, which is also the same material and fabric that is made of the tent they're about to go throw balls in front of. And I thought it was hilarious, but we also see that Orlo is trying to win the lady's husband over to be in this little coup to overthrow Peter. So it was a going on, and I wanted to know how you guys felt about how both of them handled the situation. Like, were you kind of happy that she didn't, that Catherine didn't get the support and kind of got a little personal revenge? Or do you kind of feel like she needs to put her feelings to the side and do what's best for this master plan that she has? Tatiana, what do you think?
Well, my question is, did she know that that woman was the wife of the general she was supposed to meet?
I don't think so. I think she was playing a prank because she knew that was who called the guards on Maria. I don't think she really, I don't think, like Orlo said, I don't think she was thinking three steps ahead. I think she was just kind of like, this is her, my friend, so I'm going to hurt her back. I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So with that information, if she knew it, then I'd be like, okay, that's reckless. You have to think about the big picture. But considering the fact that like she didn't know that, yeah, do it. Do it, because these women are vapid and horrid. So I'm like, yeah, go for it. Yeah,
I was like, you know, if we're planning to kill someone, we might as well have some fun in the process. Like, let's not stress over it. Like, this is a harmless prank. Like,
yeah,
so what, we can find somebody. I honestly was like, we can find somebody else. I did feel bad for Orlo, because you can tell that all of this just makes him super uncomfortable, and he was working so hard to get the attention of the husband, and he's just like, I wasted all this stress and it didn't even go anywhere. So I felt bad, but I was like, I mean, we can find another husband. This is not, you know, there's more ladies. But Cody, did you think this was a simple prank, or did you think she should have been thinking 4 and 5 steps ahead?
She should have been thinking further ahead, but I mean, even as I can't speak for her, like as a character, but like even from an audience perspective, like we didn't know that that girl was married to that guy. Like that was new information to everybody, including Catherine. And, but I loved it. I thought it was such sweet revenge. Like I tasted it for them. Like, and what's funny is I didn't realize it was the same material as the tent. But even still, when she walked in, I knew what had happened. Like I knew that her dress was, it was so weird. Like I didn't know what happened, but I knew exactly what had happened. I like missed that it was the tent, but I loved it.
Yeah, same. I definitely think that
Petty LaBelle
even though it was a little joke and like she got the last laugh, I definitely think in a way it taught her a lesson of like who's connected to who. Like nobody here is just here because they are ready to have fun and like they got invited. You know what I mean? Like everybody is placed here for a reason and connected to someone who could potentially help you. And even though, like I said, I love the fact that she played this little prank because they kind of deserved it. I think moving forward, she'll kind of be a little bit more conscious of like what she does and who she offends, because I mean, there's no coming back for that relationship. But like I said, hopefully it's a little prank and we can all move forward. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But Catherine also has some other things to worry about other than picking out fabric, because Peter gifts her a gift, and it's a human gift. It is a man that he wants to be her lover, which kind of seems weird from the outside looking in, but honestly, after seeing 3 other episodes of this show, we knew it was coming. It wasn't, you know,
just didn't
come
throw it in there.
Exactly. So we see that Catherine is a little bit hesitant to even really interact with the guy. But Cody, when we're introduced to Leo, I believe his name is, what did you think was going to happen between him and Catherine?
I'm still very, initially, I'm still torn. Like, the whole time, like, it seems like he's very genuine and, like, is there, not necessarily there for Catherine, even though he's physically there for Catherine. But I actually do not know if he is a spy or if he's not a spy. It seems like everyone's pretty conniving and good at what they're doing, so I don't know. I was stoked for her. He walked in and I was like, hello. But I don't know, it was just funny, because what made me nervous was that she just like let him stay in her room, and she's like, he just like, I feel like he was pretending to be sleeping every time he was sleeping. Like, I just feel like he's mm-hmm. smarter than he's letting on, even though he is very smart. He's obviously well read, but I don't know. I like him, but I think he's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, Marielle and Orlo definitely from the beginning are kind of like, we don't want him around. We don't think this is a good idea. Tatiana, do you think that he could end up harming their plan in any type of way? Do you think he's a spy? Like, do you think that he's danger or he's just here for pleasure?
Okay, my heart says my heart says that he's here for pleasure. Okay, because I like him and I want him to stay. But my brain says that I think there's an ulterior motive, you know, that I don't know. Like, I really, for her sake, I hope there's not. And I hope they end up falling in love and it's like happily ever after, but that doesn't happen. So, there might be a ulterior, but I don't think he's working for Peter. Like, yeah. If he's trying to get information, I don't think Peter's smart enough to get her a lover that would spy on her. So I don't think that. So then my question is, well, then who is he working for? Mm-hmm. If he was sent there to work for somebody. And I don't know if that would be like the priest is the only other person that I could think of who would be trying to get information on her, because he was the one that picked her up in the first place. So I'm not sure.
Yeah. I feel like maybe initially he's not a spy, but I feel like just later down the line, like, his loyalties are going to change, or something is going to switch hands, and he will be a problem, because I think mm-hmm. the fact that we all like him so much means we eventually won't.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. With these characters, nobody lasts long, whether it's in your good graces or just they don't stay alive long. So that was definitely interesting. And in the beginning of their, I guess, arrangement, you know, she was very platonic with everything. She was like, you know, you can stay. We're going to put on this facade as if you were a great time, and I'm going to try to convince Peter to let you go, because I don't, like, this is just an inconvenience. I have things to plan, and I don't need you here. And so she tries. That doesn't really work in her favor. And later down the line, she wants him to stay, and they become intimate. And like you said, Tatiana, now I was here for this. I was here for this, but do you guys think that maybe it would have been a little bit better if she carried out her plan to get rid of him? Like, just, I guess we're kind of peeking into predictions, and I know that we touched it on already, but I want to keep the ball rolling, because a part of me, I don't know about you guys, but a part of me wanted him to leave at first. Like, I wanted when she, you know, when they were just pretending like they were sleeping together and she went back to breakfast with Peter, I kind of wanted Peter to let him go so that he was out of the equation. But taking out what we know now at the end of the episode, when they were sitting at breakfast, did you guys want Leo to leave, or did you want him to stay? Cody?
I mean, I don't want him to leave. I like him. I like looking at him. But I think it was wise. It would have been wise for her to have just continued with her initial plan of having him leave. I think that would have been very smart. And I think she's unknowingly letting people who are a little too smart get close, because, like I said, like, he is a well-read guy, he is intelligent, and she has all these, she's writing all these things, reading all these books with people. I just think he's too smart for their own good.
Yeah. And just kind of bouncing off of Tatiana's question, Cody, do you think that he could be working for someone, and if who, do you have any idea of who you think Leo could be working for?
I don't think he's working for anyone, truthfully. I mean, I think he's working for Peter, as I think he brought him in as to be a lover. Maybe one of the, maybe the lady, the wife of his, the, like, that little love triangle, the one lady mm-hmm. whose wife he is.
Georgina.
Thank you. My words are not doing well at the moment. Maybe she did it, but she, because she, that was something, going back to the whole thing with the lady in the dress in the tent. Georgina was like, oh, well, maybe she needs to learn a lesson. Georgina kind of had her side. So I don't know. Now we didn't do this yesterday, and now all of a sudden I'm having all these new thoughts. I'm like, maybe like something else is happening. But
right.
I don't think he's working for anybody else in the castle, because I think the mm-hmm. priest is, I don't think he's working for anyone else in the castle at the moment.
Yeah. Now, when we're at the this party, because there's a party in every episode, there's always a reason to break the glass.
Yes.
She Huzzah! Has, Catherine has, right, Catherine has this change of heart and she doesn't want Leo to leave anymore. What do you guys think was the reason that now she wants him around? Tatiana, what were you feeling?
Because she's getting that inkling of everything she described when she was first, when she first met Peter, and this whole mm-hmm. depiction of love that she fantasized about in her head. And, you know, when you first make love, like, this is how it's supposed to happen, and it was completely opposite. And so that was kind of stolen from her. So I'm sure that that fantasy is still in the back of her mind. So when mm-hmm. she meets him, he, when she meets Leo, he's, you know, hitting all the points. Like, intellectually, he stimulates her, and he's mm-hmm. easy on the eyes, and, you know, he's pleasurable in bed. So I'm sure that he met all of her criteria of the fantasies that she had before she met Peter. So mm-hmm. I think that's why it's kind of like her blind spot. If he is there to ruin her, then he's definitely her blind spot.
Yeah. In the first episode, we kind of see that Catherine wasn't the most comfortable knowing that Peter was sleeping with other women. I mean, we've only really seen him with Georgina consistently, but I'm sure she's not the only one. And now that she has Leo, do you think that she's kind of, I mean, aside from her wanting to kill him, do you think that she really is just going to give up on the whole idea of just marriage, just kind of keep this a business deal, Cody?
I think so. I think even before Leo came in, she was already ready to just be like, yeah, this is not the storybook marriage that I wanted. And mm-hmm. and I mean, she even said, what, maybe it's I cannot say her name, Marielle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I forget who said it. I think it was her though. She was like, oh, you don't love Peter, love Russia. Like, that's who you're married to. You're married to Russia. And she kind of has a whole moment where that's her new cornerstone. And so that's, I think she gave up on her ideal marriage to mm-hmm. the ruler, Peter, the ruler of Russia, a while ago.
Yeah. And I think that was, in addition to what Tatiana was saying, I think that was also part of her turning point, because sometimes, you know, we get kind of stuck in our ways and how we think things should go. And when she first came to the castle, she definitely thought that, like, a marriage should just be between the husband and wife. And now that she's kind of saying, okay, this is not what I'm going to get, so I might as well be able to experience and do the things that I like as well. Of course, this probably wasn't the ideal. She might even want to be married to Leo instead, you know, but this is what it is. And I think she's realizing that, like, this is how things work around here. Like, this is how it works. And if I can benefit from this in some type of way, why not? And I think kind of Leo was her just like, okay, you know what? He does what he, like, Peter's going to do what he wants to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And when it's time for him to give a speech, I'll be there sitting pretty type of thing. So I'm liking this dynamic so far. But just to kind of circle back to something that we kind of touched on, now that we know, you know, Catherine and Leo are a thing for at least this episode, I definitely want to know your thoughts about a subplot that's kind of going on as well with Georgina and her husband, and I guess also Peter, this love triangle that's, you know, riding this wave along with this storyline. Cody, what are your thoughts? I'm going to save mine, but Cody, how are you feeling about this love triangle between the emperor and the court?
It seems to me that it looks like Georgina is in love with Peter, but that is a marriage that she will never get. And it seems that Georgina's husband, whose name I can't remember, is very jealous of that situation. But Gregor. I think they all live in this world where whatever Peter wants, he gets, and whatever he says goes. So I think it's very clear that Gregor is jealous of what's happening and not happy about that. Who he considers to be his closest friend is having sex and kissing his wife right in front of him blatantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very messy. And I think, but I also think, and it's clear to me that Georgina would rather be with Peter than with Gregor.
Yeah, for sure. Tati, do you get the feeling that Georgina is kind of, in a sense, fantasizing that she is the empress and married to the emperor?
Yeah, I think she does. And I agree with Cody that she's fantasizing that she could be, but that'll never happen because of her status. But it's also weird because I feel like that scene where Peter climbed into bed with them Like they were having their own conversation and he got into bed in the middle, like a little child, and, you know, pulled the covers up and was just like, you know, I thought this is weird. This is
very Freudian.
It was like, it was weird to begin with that he's, it's, I don't know if I would even call it cheating because he knows it's like an open relationship now. But the fact that he went in their bed like that, it was like he was in between his parents. You know, it's a weird, I don't know. I feel like it gave new meaning to their relationship that he views them as confidants and friends and lovers, but also parents.
Yeah, that's definitely,
go ahead, you know, go ahead. What I could, this is something that kind of, cause it was like, I think it was the very first scene before they even like rolled the intro song, which is like 10 seconds long. Oh my gosh, Georgina, she's like finger blasting herself to Peter the Great statue.
No, that was his aunt. Yeah.
That was his aunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I thought that was Georgina.
No,
okay,
I did too at first.
I was about to go on a whole other tangent. Never mind. But that's.
No, you know, I did too at first.
Back to the whole incest thing. So great.
I think we all thought that because I definitely, I had to like give a double take and I was like,
me too.
What?
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, like you said, Tatiana, I think this is the first episode where I kind of felt like there's a different dynamic going on here than other than this is just an open relationship. Like you said, when he climbed into the bed and didn't want anything but to literally just lay there in between them, it definitely gave a child like missing their parent type of feel. And I was like, what is going on here? Like, and in a sense, even though it's a little weird, it seems like these are the only two people that he's open and honest with that he actually listens to when they don't have the same opinion. So like you said, Tatiana, these are, this relationship or whatever it is a little, it's definitely beyond surface level. And at first I thought it was very surface level. And honestly, I thought that Georgina was just kind of in this to have influence over Peter. I thought that she was just madly in love with him and just was in this other marriage to somebody who wasn't him. But it kind of, in some parts of this episode, it kind of felt like she didn't want to do it, that she was only doing it because the emperor wanted to do it, and that she didn't want to really cause any problems or risk her her place in society or the court. Because I don't know, it was just like a split second where it kind of felt like this really wasn't what she wanted to do. But then there's also other moments where it seemed like, you know, she's like second in command almost. So I definitely want to see what that's about. I mean, she seemed really excited to go to her and her husband's like countryside or something, or like other land that they have. And so that's when I was like, okay, maybe she just wants some alone time. You know, she's done what she needs to do for the emperor and that she wants to go. But then later in the episode, we see that she says something like, yeah, Peter might join us. And I was like, wait, he wasn't invited. So how was he doing? Like, how does he know? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what makes the emperor just kind of want to walk away from his throne and join these two people in the countryside just because? So I was like, okay, this is a little strange. Not strange because it's been done. Like, it's not new, but just strange to watch because I'm not really sure about this dynamic. And I'm curious to see if something gets thrown in the mix, like maybe Georgina gets pregnant or something.
That's what I was saying. Like, if you're going to give your wife a lover and you are only having like platonic sex with her to get an heir, but you're going to give her a lover and a baby, she gets pregnant. How are you going to know? Okay. So it doesn't look like you, then what are you going to do? Are you going to lock him in another room in the castle? Just like his half brother? Like, exactly. I don't think Peter's thinking, he's not thinking.
Nobody's thinking. This is like, they never think. I think literally in anything that we've seen about empires, kingdoms, land, anything that's ruled by someone, it's always a bunch of mess happening in that castle and nobody seems to care. So that's why when I look, I'm just like, I know this is going to go south, like, because it has no way of going right. It never went right.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here. But this was definitely fun chatting about this episode with you guys. Let's move on to our special segment with Tatiana because I'm super excited about this one. Let's segue over to you. Take us away.
Okay, so we are doing a special segment, What Would You Choose? And I'm going to give you a scenario from this episode. And you have to say which way you would go and why. Okay, so. Don't be nervous.
Yeah, right.
So, okay, the scenario is that you have this lover. his name is Leo. Okay, we'll just use names, the same names in the episode. Okay. You have a lover, his name is Leo. he's amazing. You do feel for him and you do love him and you don't want your husband to kill him. Do you release him but still see him under wraps but nobody knows about it? Or do you keep the charade that you guys are doing things so that way your husband is pleased, but you don't touch him? Like you don't look at him, you don't touch him, nothing. He's just there and he has like his own room in your place. Which one?
Yeah, you add a lot of, emotional aspects you added to that one.
I know. I had to make it hard. It can't be an easy
I was a little
pick.
Dang.
Cody, you go first.
Okay.
Yeah, Cody, go first.
Honestly, you know, I would probably have him leave and then be doing it in secret. That's kind of exciting and fun.
Now, hear me out.
Oh,
so
no.
Part of me wanted to say, see him in secret and just like, I don't know, figure it out with the emperor and have him send me somebody else that's kind of similar and then we can keep the charade going. But then, you know, people can really switch the definition of what treason is. And I get nervous. And I get nervous, like I'm gonna really do this. But if we're sneaking, you know, around and somebody finds out and they try to say that because I'm doing something and the emperor doesn't know or against what the emperor wishes, and now my head is on the chopping block, literally, and I can't have that. So I'm thinking keep him around, and then literally I would just have to find somebody else to you know, make love to or something, like, because cute, yes, relationships cute, but my neck is cuter. So I'm gonna have to keep that. And I don't know how long we can keep this charade of doing it in secret. I don't know how long that's gonna last. Because one wrong person, they'll tell your business, and now they looking for a new empress. And I can't do that. Mm. That's something I have to go with. Tati, what's your choice? Tatiana, what's your choice?
Okay, honestly, I would keep him around, and but I would have to keep him away from me. Like, there's no way that I could just have him sleeping in the next room and just not do anything about it, in all honesty. There'd be at some point I'd be like, I'm weak, come here, you know. So but I would keep him around, but I would keep him away from me. That's
I agree. Okay. Yeah. Wow. These special segments are really gonna shake me up. I already know. Like, I'm kinda like, dang, what's gonna be the next one? Because that one was hard. But just real quick to wrap up this episode. Let's just go around and give a little bit of predictions. Of course, it's a little hard to do predictions with period pieces, but let's just, you know, ignore that. Let's just ignore the rules because that's what they're doing anyway. And Cody, what do you think is going to happen in episode 4?
I think in episode 4, I don't know specifically what episode, but one of my predictions is I think there's a little like, there's this boy named Vlad. He's like one of the servants. She's like low key teaching him how to read. And I think that's going to bite her in the butt. I think he's going to learn how to read and he's going to read something he shouldn't. And he's going to get her in trouble.
Tatiana, what are your predictions? Maybe not for episode 4. I think that's a little like too restricting, but what do you think is going to happen in the season, the rest of the season?
I mean, I think that she is going to develop like true hard feelings for Leo. And I think, like I said before, I think that's going to be her blind spot and it's going to get her into trouble. Whether he's on her side or not, I think it's going to get her into trouble.
Yeah, I have to agree with the both of you. I don't exactly know what yet. I feel like my predictions are always so like vague, but something is definitely going to go wrong in this plan because it's just been working too well so far. And like you said, I feel like there's a lot of people in on this plan, the servant, Leo, well, he's not really in on it, but he's around. And I feel like she's become very trusting of the people around her, just if they're being nice. And someone is definitely going to betray her, find out something that she didn't want them to find out. Like, I just kind of think she's being a little bit, well, she's not being careful enough with the people that she's involving in this plan. And so there's definitely going to be a slip up. There's going to be a something, like, something's going to happen. But definitely in the comments, please, 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 one, leave us your predictions, but I also would like to see how you guys responded to the special segment, what you guys do in that situation. So leave that in the comments below. We'll definitely be reading them for every episode because I want to know. And let us know if you agree with any of our predictions, how you're liking the series so far. Just chat with us. We're here to chat. We want you guys to be a part of the conversation. Quickly, Cody, where can they find you on social media?
Yes, I am on Twitter as Cody_Epp and on Instagram as Cody Epp with two Y's.
Yes. And Tatiana, where can they find you?
I am at Tatiana Marisa, or I am Tatiana Marisa, at Tatiana Marisa on all social media platforms.
Yes, you guys can find me on Twitter at Tori with two E's. We definitely want to see you join us for the next episode. We're going to be back here at 8 discussing episode 4. So definitely, definitely tune in. Click around the YouTube, find something else that tickles your fancy, a show that you love watching. We more than likely covered it already or are going to cover it. So definitely stick around and find something else. Until next time, we will buzz you later. Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.